Turn with me, if you would, to the passage that Rod brought to us. Thanks, Rod, for ministering and leading us in worship this morning. Just for those who are visiting with us, just so that you understand, we're going through the whole book of 1 John. And as is our tradition, as is our norm, as really is what proper preaching is, if the truth be known. You go through it, you read the text, you explain the text, and then you teach the people how to apply the text. That's what preaching is. And that's what we seek to do as we go through this passage verse by verse. And we find ourselves this morning in 1 John 4 and verse 7. Leading on from where Simon left off last week, I was away in Eastbourne. Can I just say thank you so much for your love and prayers while I was ministering down. I was teaching at a youth conference down there, youth weekend. It was a fantastic time. Sadly, because of COVID, not all the young people could be there. But it was a really, really good time. And I was able to minister also at the church down there in East Sussex, just outside Eastbourne in Golden Cross. So thank you for your love and prayers. But Simon was here last week and he led us through the first part of this passage from verses 1 through to 6. And now we find ourselves in verse 7 together. Can I just say that when it comes to the subject of God, and specifically when it comes to the subject of God's love, the passage that Rod read for us, this passage before us this morning, is probably the best known, most quoted in these passages. We read that phrase, God is love. It's the reason why we call the whole of this particular series the Epistle of Love, because that's what John is, 1 John is. In fact, I don't know whether you can remember, I'm going to pick on you, Victoria. This was the passage I used at your wedding all those years back. Yeah. And it's the passage that we find ourselves on. It is a most popular verse, which is often used. But can I say also, and forgive me if this sounds judgmental, but it's often a verse which is often misquoted as well. The idea that people have is that God is a loving God comes from this particular text, which is proof, I suppose, how influential the scriptures are on our day-to-day life. When you just think about some popular scriptures, even many of the proverbs which are used on a daily basis, some things actually come out from scripture. He's all skin and bone. Did you realize that comes from Proverbs? Iron sharpens iron. That comes from Proverbs. The children shall teach them. That comes from the word of God. There are so many phrases that we use on a daily basis. And this particular phrase, God is love, it shows you how the scriptures, how the Bible has influenced so many people. Although on one particular occasion, Dr. Harry Ironside, he tells a story of how many, many years ago, a lady confronted him. She prided herself about being belonging to the intelligentsia. In other words, she was dead clever. Or at least she thought she was. And she said to him, I have no need for the Bible. I have no need for those Christian superstitions that you see in the Bible, for any form of religious dogma. It is enough for me to know that God is love. The doctor said to him, well, how do you know that? She said, of course we know that. We know that because, you know, we just know. That is religion enough for me. I do not need to know the dogmas of the Bible. He said, how did you find out that God is love? She said, well, everybody knows it. He said, everybody? Do they know that in India? Does the dear mother who in her distress throws her child into the Ganges to be eaten by a filthy crocodile as a sacrifice for her sins, does she know that God is love? Oh, well, she's just ignorant, said the woman. That's just superstition. What about the natives in the jungles in Africa throwing themselves down before wood and stone and worshipping them, constantly in fear of their fetishes? And what about those heathens in other countries? Do they know that God is love? Perhaps not, she said. But in a civilized country like we live in, we know it. But how do we know it, pressed the doctor. Where did we discover this from? I don't understand what you mean, she said. We just know. And he said, let me tell you. No one in this world ever knew it until God revealed from heaven and recorded it in his precious word that he is a God of love. We only know that God is a God of love is because his precious word tells us and his actions have demonstrated to us that he is a God of love. And those actions are recorded in his precious word. If you ever want to know how God is a God of love, you only know, said the doctor, through God's precious word, through his Bible, through his scriptures. God is indeed love, and whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. Amen. Here endeth the sermon for today. Oh, you wish. But it does raise the question in my mind, what did John mean by love? Whenever you hear someone say we should love one another, I ask the question, what does it mean to love? The love that John uses here is, as we've said on several occasions, agape love. That's what John refers to. Agape love is not a sentimental love. It's not a love that says, oh, I love trees and flowers and I love animals. I was thinking of you when I wrote that bit, Joe. That's not that sort of love that John is referring to here. Agape love, it's not social love. It's not I love because I do good things, that I do good works for different people. I shop for somebody, I clean for somebody, I befriend them. It's not that social love that John is referring to here. It's not sexual love either, the love which is expressed within an intimate expression within a marital relationship. It's not that love that he refers to here. No, the love described here is a supernatural love that is exactly the same kind of love that God has demonstrated and loved us with. It is the kind of love that God is. However, the concept of this kind of love that God has and that God is, I want to suggest to you folks, before we begin, this is just the introduction, by the way, I want to suggest to you that it's actually very misunderstood. When people say that God is love, it does not mean that God is a God of total tolerance. That he loves everyone all the time, anywhere. That people can engage in the grossest form of sin and say it's okay because God is a God of love. God doesn't love and accept everything as it is. The kind of love that John speaks about is a love that is prepared to confront someone when they are in sin. It's the sort of love, as we saw last week, that challenges those who are teaching things falsely against the word of God. It confronts false teachers. It challenges those who walk in darkness. And it confronts those who deny the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember again, there was sort of two prongs in John's letter. He was teaching the people in his day how they can have the same sort of fellowship, the same relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ that they had. But he was also counteracting false teaching, that saying that you could have that sort of relationship without even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, those who were saying that were denying that Jesus is the Lord. No, that's not the sort of love that John was speaking about. These are all the things we have seen thus far in our series in the Epistle of Love. But those who seek to maintain a fellowship with the Father, the fellowship that John encourages, will seek to love in a way that God loves. And this is what we see this morning is this, that believers who know God and have a close fellowship with God are those who continually love one another of the same kind with God's kind of love. What does that mean? Well, let us look at that together now. First thing you notice there in verse 7, there's a charge. The charge to love one another. John says, dear friends, let us love one another. We know immediately from the context that this cannot be a charge to love everybody. That word there that he uses, another, is key. It means another of the same kind. Those who know God and have a close fellowship with God are those who continually develop a deeper and a deeper love with those of the same kind of love. In other words, what John is actually saying here is simply this: Christians, just love one another, will you? That's what you're called to do. Christians love Christians. Why? Because you're part of the same family. And God has demonstrated his love to you. It's a love, a deep love for the family of God. We can't love in this way unless we ourselves have experienced the love of God. His love should radiate out of us. It comes through the right relationship with Christ, a right understanding with Christ, as we'll see in a few moments together. You know, the more similarities we have, the more the love exists. People who love God will love and want to be with others of the same kind. That's what John is saying here. They will fellowship with them. They will walk with them. They will eat with them. They'll play with them. They'll work with them. There will be a sense of a harmony and a unity within the family of God because the love of God is so demonstrated in and through them. Hallelujah. Is that what is seen in Homegate? Bill was nodding and then he went, Because it's a challenge for us, isn't it? This is a great test of whether or not we are walking in the right relationship with God. Do we love to be around those who love God's word? Do we love to be around those who love God's teaching, God's doctrine? He always uses that word. But that's what this is. It's the truth. It's the doctrine of God. Do we love to be around those who are part of God's church, God's family? Do we love that which God loves, in other words? That is the charge and that is the command to one another. Why? Well, we'll go on to look at these next 6 points because John sets the charge out for us and then he says, these are the reasons why. There's 7 reasons why you need to do this. The first reason is there in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who has been born of God and knows God, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 7 reasons why. The first is because God is, or love is from God. Notice there that there's an article in the Greek before that noun love. And before the proper noun, God. What that means is this. Is this is a specific kind of love that comes from God himself. We demonstrate the love we have for the Lord when we love those who love God in the same way that we love him. Love was not created by God. I say that in the sense of God spoke creation into being. He said, let there be light. And guess what? There was. Let there be a separation between the skies and the... And there was. He spoke creation into being, but he did not say, let there be love. What he did is he demonstrated love because God is love. He's not created it. In his very essence, he is love. Love comes out from God. So the only way that we can have the right kind of love is that we're in the right kind of fellowship with God. Do you know if we're not in that right kind of fellowship, it affects how we love one another. It does. Because we suddenly stop loving our relationship with God and we suddenly begin to affect our relationship with one another. Let me assure you, and I've said this before, and I do not apologize for my saying this and the repetition of it. But those who have the greatest walk and greatest fellowship with Almighty God will have the greatest love for his people. Because they will love that which God loves. The second reason, God's love is evidence that we are born of God. Anyone who loves me has been born of God and knows God. Born out of the heart of God, John is referring to. This love is to be demonstrated as a love that can only be shown by those who are born of God. In other words, born again, as Rod alluded to, that experience that John Blanchard had. As he sung that song, he sung it as a sinner. By the time he got to the second verse, he said he sung it as a born-again believer. The Gospel of John echoes this truth. Just quickly turn with me to John 3. We've got to go there, haven't we? Because we can't help not think of it as we're reading this particular passage. Now, there was a man, the Pharisees, in verse 1 of John 3, the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the miracle signs that you are doing if God is not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus said. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb." And Jesus answered and said to him, "I tell you the truth. Truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born of water and of the Spirit." In other words, unless there's a natural birth happened, but more than that, born of the Spirit. In other words, born of God, born from above. Jesus said, unless you are born again, that is born of God, no one can actually enter into the kingdom of God. He alone can produce the supernatural love in our hearts. So the only way that we can continually give the kind of love that John is expressing is if we ourselves have been born again. You know, it was John Wesley who was once challenged by a dear woman who said to him, "Why do you always say ye must be born again?" And Wesley looked at the dear woman and said, "Because you must be born again." He only can produce this supernatural love in our hearts. So the only one who continually give this kind of love that John is speaking about are those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. And folks, that is the evidence that we are in Christ. Folks, there is a love that we can have, that we should have for those in the family of God, that far exceeds the love that we can even have for our family and friends who are close to us. Do you know, I say this lightly, and my daughter's here, and I praise God that I know my daughter loves the Lord, so you're included in this one, girl. But there is members of the family of God that I love far more than my own blood relatives. Because I love them, because God has expressed a love to them. And I can have fellowship with them at such a deeper level than I can have with some of my own family and friends. We have a far greater love, and we should have a far greater love for the members of Christ's family than we do have even from those of our natural family. That's what John is saying here. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? We are to love those that God loves. Can I just remind you again that John had a heart of evangelism? Because what also that is true is that as we demonstrate God's love to one another, what does it do to people around us? It shows to people around us that we are of God. It is a testimony to those around us that God's love is in us. Can I just say, this doesn't mean that we don't show love to people outside. That's not what I'm saying, and that's what John doesn't say. One of the things that Pat has already expressed this morning is how the folks of the church family express love to your family and to your friends when we gathered on Wednesday. And folks, that's what we do, and that's what we should do. And I'm not saying that we don't love others outside, but our primary focus of our love should be those who are part of the family of God. Thirdly, because love is evidence that one knows God. Verse 7 again. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Again, these false teachers were called Gnostics, who John was writing about. And these false teachers were exposed in this letter because they claimed that they really knew God. They claimed that they had another way of coming to God that wasn't through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they hated God's word. They hated John. They hated the apostles. They hated all the servants of God. We cannot go around hating other Christians and claiming that we know God, the God of love, claiming that we have fellowship with God and hating those that God has loved, hating those who God has demonstrated his grace to by saving them. And we consider the grace of God, how costly God's love was for us, that he should send his only son to die for us. What great sacrifice that was. And if God has demonstrated that sacrificial love to someone, what right have we to hate that which God loves? Can you see the point? The target of the love is others of the same kind. Fourthly, because not loving is evidence that one does not know God. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. In other words, whoever does not love in the same way that John is speaking about here, that God has demonstrated, does not know God, because God is love. When it comes to having fellowship with God, people can be broken into two categories according to John. Those who love others, who love the Lord and love the word and are faithful, and those who don't love others, who profess to know the Lord, who profess to know his word, but don't. This knowing God is so important. This knowing is not just a matter of knowing a few facts about God. Can I just say, if I turned around and say to you, I know Suzanne, my wife that is, for those of you who don't know, I know Suzanne because I know that her mum and dad were John and Christine Pike. I know that she's got brown hair and a few grey bits now, let me tell you. More grey bits than she'll admit. And I'm only saying that because she's upstairs in Sunday school. Don't you tell her. I know that she's 5'2", because I'm just bigger than her, just. I know that she's got green eyes. Is that evidence that I really know my wife just because I know a few facts about her? It means absolutely nothing. The knowing God that John describes here is the same word that is used about Adam knowing his wife Eve. It's a knowing of an intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. To know God is to have an intimate relationship with him. It's not just, and forgive me, I'm not going against what Ben said the other week about your quiet times and your walking and your prayer life. But it's not simply enough to have a 10 to 15 minute devotion and then go through our prayer list. That is not knowing God. And then getting on with the rest of your day. No, to know God is to know what pleases him, what blesses him, what delights his heart. To know God is to enjoy his presence. No, this knowing is a deep relationship that we have with him. To love that which he loves is to know him. Folks, do we know him? Do we know just a few simple facts about him? Or do we really, really know him and know him as a God of love? Fifthly, John says, because God is love. And here is probably the most famous of all statements about God. God is not just simply love. There's other scriptures that actually says that God is also spirit, that God is a consuming fire, that God is light. But 1 John here says that God is love. He's not defined by love, but he defines what love is. So that even in his judgments, his chastisements are expressions of his love as well. Can I just remind you that a father only chastises his child because he loves his child? Remember what Hebrews says, I discipline you because I love you. These terms do not refer to virtues that we find in God. These terms denote who God actually is. He is in very essence love. And he demonstrates that love, sixthly this morning, verses 11 through to 9. This is how God has showed his love amongst us. When he sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. That is love. That we are loved. He loved us and sent his Son as an atoning, or as the AV says, as an propitiation, as a sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we are all to love one another. The love that God has for you and me is manifested, is demonstrated in the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So in this great reality lies the secret of God's kind of love. God cannot save us by his love. In other words, God by love alone cannot save us. Because God, who is also a holy God, cannot overlook our sins. Those vile things that we sung about this morning in that second or the third hymn. God cannot overlook those things. And so it's not just sufficient for God to say, well, I love you and I am a God of love. And there it is. No, God says, and I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm going to prove it to you. And I'm going to prove it this way. I'm going to send my Son and he's going to die for you. Because the wages of sin is death. But the provision of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we may be forgiven. Hallelujah. God has provided the sacrifice for us by his love. And it is in the provisional sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ where God's love is best manifested. He provided this sacrifice, seeing us as the sinners as we are. And so the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ tells that God is love. In that verse where it goes on to speak about in John 3:16, we know it's the most famous passage about God's love. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. But notice what it says there, and this is a controversial issue, and you can challenge me afterwards if you like. But in the original Greek, it does not say, for God so loves the world. What does it say? For God so loved. There was a once and only action which God performed and demonstrated his love through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that God continually goes on loving that which hates him. No, he's demonstrated his love. So that those who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they may be saved. Hallelujah. They may not enter into the eternal judgment that is theirs by right. The love is that which truly cares that others are right with God. The love we should demonstrate for others is not a backsliding, joking, cheap, sentimental type of love that everything is okay. It says I can behave how I want because God is all forgiving and God is all gracious. May the Lord have mercy upon us. No, God has demonstrated his love through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and what a price he paid. And finally, as we close this morning, because we demonstrate God's love to others. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Hallelujah. You know, when people see how we operate, when people see how we interact with one another, when they see how we love those of the same kind, they see the love of God. That is precisely what John says in this particular text. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Not merely everyone has a natural affection for a father or mother or a child or sister or brother, but everyone who loves in this divine, unselfish way that John is describing here demonstrates that they are born of God, demonstrates that they know God, and demonstrates that they love like God loves. On the Aran Island, off the west coast of Ireland, they're known for their beautiful sweaters, beautiful jumpers. Patterns are woven into the fabric using sheep's wool to craft the garment. Many of them relate to the culture and the folklore of the particular islands, but there's a more personal significance. Every one of those patterns are patterned after the name of a particular family, a different clan. Each family on the island has its own trademark pattern, which is so distinctive. And it happened on one particular occasion when a fisherman from those islands was he drowned sadly at sea. And they didn't identify him in any other way other than the pattern jersey that he had on, and they knew which family he was from, and they went to that family and said, "Have you lost a loved one?" And they said, "Yes." And they knew by the trademark of their pattern. Folks, I close with that illustration this morning simply this, because in John's first letter, the apostle describes things that are to be a trademark for those who are members of God's family. And that trademark is that we love one another. John affirms that we indeed are part of God's family by saying, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." But then he goes on, as we've shared this morning, he describes the trademarks of those who are children of God, including, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Why? Because God is love. How are we doing, church? How are we doing in demonstrating God's love to one another primarily? A love that is giving, a love that is sacrificial, a love that we ourselves have been received because we have been born of God. May we allow his love to reach out to others through us. May it be a loving trademark of this, or maybe a family trademark of this church, that they would look at those folks at Homegate and say, "See how they love one another." Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we praise and thank you in Jesus' precious name for your word to us this morning. Father, teach us, we pray, to love. Father, teach me to love with the same love that the Lord Jesus Christ has loved me. Help me to reflect that love as we seek to care and love for others around us. Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name that your love would drive us to demonstrate in our responses the life that we now have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there be any who are uncertain of that love this morning, uncertain of where they stand before you, O Holy God, Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would challenge them, that like that man, John Blanchard, they would not go away from this act of service without having dealings with you. May the very hound of heaven come amongst us and do a work that only he can do, we pray, for Jesus' sake and his glory. Amen and amen.